Jeremiah chapter number 17. Jeremiah is a prophet and a preacher. Not all preachers are prophets, but certainly Jeremiah is that. The book of Jeremiah is a series of his sermons. It's kind of like we opened up the file of Jeremiah's sermons. And we open it up kind of like how we have on the computer here, and we can examine that. Here it is a series of sermons, some of hope, not many, more of judgment, many. And with the point of most of his sermons now based on what we read here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to get a hold of Israel's attention and turn back to God. For years, they denied or chose to disobey the things of God. And Jeremiah repeatedly is now in a time where they are reaping the judgments of their choices. And Jeremiah is trying to, without saying, "I told you so," say, God is saying, "I told you, this is what we would do." A lot of fulfillment through the book of Jeremiah from the kings. Hey, if you turn your back on me, out of the law in Deuteronomy, if you turn your back on me, this is what I'm going to do. Well, he's doing exactly what he says. Remember, with God, there is no exceptions, even for the nation of Israel. And it breaks his heart, but so be it. And Jeremiah in chapter number 17, poor Jeremiah, he was told that you're going to have no children, you're not going to get married, you're not going to have any sons or daughters, because I need you to be an example to the nation of Israel. And here Jeremiah is going along with it. Some days he's discouraged. We read it in chapter, I think it's chapter 18, maybe 19, 20. He says, I quit. I don't quit. Right? I mean, that's him. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Why? Because the material in which he has to present is true, but it's hard. It's hard. And we come to Jeremiah chapter number 17. The hearts. How many of you have a heart? Most of you? Some? The heart is deceitful. Most of you raised your hands that you had a heart. If you have a heart, the preacher reminds us this morning that it is deceitful. Say, well, there's other things that are above all things. Oh. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is truth. Well, I don't like that message. I don't like people telling me. It's God talking to the nation of Israel. And I feel like God in the same way can talk to us and remind us, I'm not too different than this. And I read this and I think, wow, yeah, that's me too. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Heavenly Father, we need you right now. Lord, this is naturally our state. This is how you find us. This is how you made us. Lord, we need your help. Because, God, this is who we are. We're deceitful and wicked. And in our natural state, we cannot honor and glorify you, so we need you to change us. God, we need you to change us from the inside out. God, I pray that this morning we would be honest and open and receptive to the message, to the thought, to the principle, to the example that we find here in the Scriptures. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I know you may look at this passage and say, well, you know, I watched the news and I'm not that bad. Let us remember what the Bible says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's you. We do our best to dress ourselves up, clean ourselves up. This week we had formal day at school. And oh, the ladies look so lovely, the gentlemen. Step above fair, but you know, the ladies, you know, in their pretty dresses and hair all done up, bows, and we think, oh, how wonderful. Wicked, deceitful. What a great danger to follow the advice to follow your heart. Say, why? What's wrong with following your heart? Your heart is deceitful. It lies. That's what deceitful means. And in nature, it's not just wicked, it's desperately, like awfully wicked. Danger in making decisions based on what we feel. When we follow our heart, certainly we could be led astray. You know, feelings are more like a roller coaster than they are a compass. They're up, they're down, sometimes separated by minutes. I have some teenagers that live in our house, to which they would say, we have an old man that lives in our house. I get it. I understand. We all have a heart, and we all have feelings, and we all are deceitful, and we're all wicked. And I read that, and I go, I'm hopeless. What's the problem? What's the issue here with a deceitful heart? Why is that such a problem? Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter 15. Lest we justify our natural state, let us remember what Christ says. He's talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees don't get what he's talking about. He's calling them a hypocrite, and you know how he does. And then Peter in verse 15, Matthew chapter 15, verse 15 says, then answered Peter and said unto him, Jesus, declare unto us this parable. He speaks parables. Why does he speak parables, Jacob? Because he wants to give them a spiritual truth through something they can look at and identify with. Does it all the time. Pastor Seatman, so much so, is teaching the parables, right? And those spiritual ones should get it, but Peter's like, Lord, I have a question. Put his flag up. Christian flag. Not a yes or no question. When Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? How do you answer that? Don't you? Don't you hate when people answer your questions with a question? Man. Why does he do that? To make them think. Lord, can you declare unto us this parable? I've got questions about that. Who am I in this story? What's happening? And Jesus says, are you yet without understanding? How do you answer that? No, yes, I don't know. Those are one you don't answer, right? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. That means there's something inside much worse than a garbage plate, much worse than fried chicken, much worse than that. He says, your problem isn't what you ingest. Your problem what's on the inside that comes out. He says this, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. And we spend so much time trying to adjust the outside appearance. And this parable is all about the inside. Why? Because the heart is deceitful and wicked. It is the source of sin. Go to Genesis chapter number 6. Go back in time, a little history lesson. Genesis chapter number 6. Genesis is probably the easiest book in your Bible to find and hardest to get to. I don't know why, but those first couple chapters are hard to, not much to spin on this side. All right, Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Evil wickedness going on. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were men of old, men of renown. Look at verse 5, just so we got context of where we're talking. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What's the problem with having a deceitful heart? It is the source of sin. We don't have to teach our children to sin. Naturally, they know how. Don't have to teach them how to lie. Don't have to teach them how to steal. We actually have to teach the opposite. We have to teach right and truth. What's the problem with a deceitful heart? Why is it considered so deceitful? If we look at the heart of man, if we could somehow see the heart of man, what's wrong with this thing? Well, in nature, it is the source of sin. When we pull back the layers of man and examine his heart, you know what we find? We find goodness. Oh, in the goodness of man, we find no goodness. But that's what the world will tell us. Oh, Jacob, you're a good guy. Oh, which Jacob is. But your heart's deceitful and wicked. How do you turn that around? So when we peel back the heart, the layers of our heart, and look within, what do we see? When we examine our heart, what is it that we find? We find that sinful nature. Desperately wicked. So what's the problem with having a sinful nature? Hebrews chapter 3 leads to unbelief. Hebrews chapter number 3. The message will not be long today, but it will be pointed. Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse 12, it says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Where do we find hope? Where do we find purpose? Where do we find peace? Where do we find love and joy and compassion and long-suffering? Only in God. Why would I depart from such a thing? Because my heart is wicked. It is foolishness. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. So, I don't know, Pastor. I came in feeling pretty good this morning. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Yes, follow your heart, young lady. Yep. You'll end up in a sea of despair. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. You see the difference? There's a comparison here. The wisdom of God versus the heart of man. And they lead in very different directions. One leads to foolishness, and the other leads to wisdom. Psalm 53. Psalm 53 in verse 1. It says this, the fool has said where? In his heart there is no God. Corrupt are they that and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. That's pretty straightforward. Our heart is the source of sin. Our heart is the source of unbelief. It calls us a fool in our heart. And when foolishness takes root in our heart, you know what? There's a denial of God Himself. Abominable iniquity. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They're altogether become, what's that next word? Filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Lest we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, God reminds us that we carry around something that is deceitful and desperately wicked. It is our source of sin and unbelief. Oftentimes, people blame the world for, and that there is a corruption, I understand that. But that person has opened up their hearts to the teachings of the world. It leads to corruption. As we just read, it says that this corrupt are they that have done abominable iniquity. As the heart is wicked, you know what? It turns into actions. We read on the news, or maybe watch on the news, people doing horrible, awful things, and you think, what on earth? How did that happen? They just did what they thought about. They did what they imagined. Go back to Jeremiah. Look at chapter 16. A sinful heart produces a sinful life. Jeremiah 16. Same message. This was point number one in his message, if you will. And ye have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. There was a people that had imaginations, evil and wicked and deceitful in their heart. And you know what? If that thing isn't taken care of, it becomes your actions. What's the problem with having a deceitful heart? It is the source of sin. It is the source of unbelief. It is the source of your sinful life. Who can know it? Who? I feel like I'm helpless. I feel like I have no answer. I feel like what do I do? This is who I am. Jeremiah chapter 17. We'll read our verse again. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I hope at this point in your mind, you're looking at this going, yes, that is true, and there's nothing good in that. Who can know it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. There's a solution. I can't clean my own heart. I need supernatural vision. I need supernatural touch. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We love this verse. We love these verses. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Trying to pick a king for Israel. Natural choice would be Eliab. He looks like Saul. He's tall, he's big, he's strong, he's head and shoulders. He's the oldest. He's got leadership qualities. He's all of that. Saul has refused the things of God, disobeyed the things of God, and now there's been a transfer, so much so the father thought so, so much so the prophet Samuel himself thought so. And God said, hold on a second. I think it would be wise of you to ask me what I thought. Ever go through life and do what you thought was best? Ever follow your heart? You do that, you'll end up with Eliab. God says, hold on a second. Verse 7, the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. You can't see the things that God sees. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And if God can see my heart, why on earth would he want a fellowship with me? Because my heart's deceitful and wicked. Why would he want to have any dealings with me? Proverbs chapter 17. Years ago, had the opportunity, maybe our military guys had this opportunity to help out with this teen group. They were doing this like a unifying thing, and I was a leader on the other side. And so it was at night, we're in this campground, and there was some dangerous stuff around, and we were trying to get this group to move through. And one of the other leaders in the group was a military guy, and he brought, maybe I could be wrong, but like third generation night vision goggles. Say, what is that? Cool. That's what that was. Because we were out in the middle of nowhere, it was a dark night, not a lot of moonlight, and you put these things on, and all of a sudden everything looks awesome. And you can see them, but they can't see you. So there we were, and we're making sure that no kids went off the side of the cliff. Smart. But we didn't want them to know we were there. So we were sitting there, and we have night vision goggles on, and we're watching them walk right by us because we could see what they couldn't. And we were protecting them. At one point, there was one that started to veer, and we said, don't go that way. Woo, that scared them because they didn't know that there was someone standing there. But we had night vision goggles. We could see them perfectly. And that green look, you know, they were awesome. I'm sure they've come a long way, Brother Primer, but the ones that we used were neat at the time. That was like 20 years ago. They're still cool? All right, super cool. Hey, that's how God is with us. He can look at you and he can see inside. Say, I don't want him to see inside. Cover that up. Because inside it's dirty and wicked and deceitful. I don't want him looking at my heart. See, and that's where we go wrong. That's the point of the message here this morning. Your heart is deceitful and wicked, and our tendency is, let's go hide it. Let's pretend, or let's make it look, and let's not let God look within. Because what he's going to find is a mess. It's the same instance when I walk past my kids' rooms and their door is closed. I think, I should look in there. Say, why? Because they might be doing that, so I don't. And sure enough, I open it up and it's like a bomb went off. That's what my mom used to say. I don't know what happened in there. Drawers are open. There's clothes all over the place. Dog laying in the middle, you know. And that's how we are with our heart. I'm gonna close the door to my heart. Why? Because God's going to find something ugly in here. And that's where we're wrong. Oh, he's going to find something ugly, but he wants to fix it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3. The finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. And we think, oh, I don't want him to try my heart. What is that word try? It means test. I'm going to go try this out. I'm going to go test this out. He wants to try our hearts. He wants to test our hearts. He wants to see what's going on in there. Go to Matthew chapter 13. But we're so scared to let him in. We're trying to do everything we can to cover up. I don't want God's my heart exposed to the Lord. Why? Because it's dirty in there. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. And the people's heart is waxed gross. That's my heart. It's gross. And their eyes are dull of hearing, and their ears they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart. Do you see? There's a dirty heart. There's closed eyes that they can't see. Their ears are shut off, but there could be There could be vision. There could be hearing. There could be understanding with their heart and should be, look at, and should be converted. Look at those next five beautiful words. And I should heal them. I should heal them. But he just needs access. He needs to be allowed in. He needs to be able to pull the layers away and get to the root of the matter and get to the deceit and to the wickedness. He's going to hurt me inside. No, he's going to clean you. He's going to heal you. Is there mercy found for me in there? Yes. The average cost of a heart transplant, including the need of all the drugs, is approximately $864,000. That's why they drive Porsches. Yet, the best heart transplant a man can receive costs him nothing. And the new heart will never fail. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. What do we have to do? We have to acknowledge that we are wicked and sinful, deceitful, and allow God to come in and heal us. Psalm 62 and verse 12 says, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou rendest to every man according to his work. Mercy is available. Mercy is not getting something we do deserve. And in my heart, it's desperately wicked and evil and deceitful, and I deserve judgment for that. And yet, we find mercy. Hebrews chapter 4. I don't like the dentist. I'm just saying it. Just throwing that out there. I think they're mean and cruel. I need dental hygiene. No, we don't have any dental hygiene. Because you're saved. That's why. No. I don't like it. I don't like the little tray off to the side with things that have torture devices over there. Russo, please open your mouth. I don't want to. Actually, now that I think about it, I would like to go home right now. You're mean and you're wicked and you tell me mean things. Tell me I don't floss, which is true. I floss as much as I should and make my gums bleed, and then you tell me it's my fault. Very sharp objects over there. When I'm done, my whole bib is... It's so belittling. See, why are you telling us all this? Because there's something that gets even much deeper than the poker thing of a dental hygienist. It is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, sharper than any dentist's poker thing. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. Here's that supernatural vision, right? But all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Ladies, with whom we have to do. We've got to deal with the Lord. It is an appointed time. God has an appointment with you and your heart. And the Word of God is going to get in. And it's going to reveal our intents. Say, I don't want to see that. Then he can't heal it. Can I encourage you here? Yes, you'll find mercy, but you need honesty. get to the heart of the matter. That's the only way he can repair you. Psalm 139. Oftentimes we put the Bible aside. Why? Because it reveals to us who we actually are. And we don't like to be told that. We like to be told that we're wonderful and great and lovely and handsome and good. And then we read the scriptures and it says otherwise. And the Word of God gets in there, and God and the Holy Spirit of God begins to cut away things. And Psalm 139, verse 23, look at this invitation. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The psalmist says here, Lord, I need you to look inside. I need you to pull it all back. I need you to identify to me to who I am and send me on the right way. I need you to fix me because I'm broken. I need healing because my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, can know it, he says. Last verse, Galatians chapter 6. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways. And look at, and according to the fruit of his doings. The fruit of his doings. Our heart produces action. When we allow God to get in and lead us in the way of life everlasting, that will produce different results. The result of our sinful, deceitful heart is what? It is one of adulteries and thefts and all of that list that we look at and go, oh, that's so ugly, but that's so me. Now we read the ways of God and when he gets in and how he takes us and changes us from the inside out. And he takes us from a path of destruction and hurt and sorrow and all of the things that we've been trying to fix in ourselves. And he takes us and he points us in a completely different direction. And the result is one of love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Goodness. See, when Christ changes our heart, we go from that natural state of being wicked and deceitful. And God says, on the inside, I will put goodness. And we read Galatians chapter number 6. Be not deceived. Say, how? I'm Jacob. I am a deceiver. That's naturally who I am. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's said that our heart produces actions, and those actions have a response or a consequence, a result. God says, what you sow, you'll reap. Right now, we're getting late harvest. It's been nice. Hudson brought a gourd in the other day that he grew or by accident, but still, we're growing stuff because we planted stuff. Your life? Are you still living with that deceitful, wicked heart, or have you opened your heart and let God heal you from the inside? Say, what would that take? It would take you being honest with Him. We have an altar here. Maybe you just want to come and talk to God and say, God, I've been trying to hide myself from you. I'm like Adam in the garden. I've run from you. you've been calling for me and looking for me, and I just keep running. Matthew said last Sunday night, Jonah trying to run from God. You can't run from God. My actions are producing things I don't want. Will you look inside? Will you try my heart today? Will you show me what's in there and help me to fix it? We think that if we expose our heart to the Lord, we're going to get hurt. It's a lie of the devil. No, quite the opposite. He'll help us. He'll heal us. He'll take that wickedness out and replace it with goodness from the inside. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. What's on the inside eventually will come out. Will you be open and honest with the Lord today? Let's all stand. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. No, God, please don't search my heart. It's dirty in there. It's the only way I can clean it up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. God, I am thankful to know that there's mercy still given by your hand. Lord, I pray that we would be open and honest with you, that we would come and open up our heart to you and plead with you to heal us. Because I know in myself I'm deceitful and desperately wicked. Lord, will you help here today? Bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here today? Mm-hmm.